Good morning. Thank you for inviting me to speak with you today. It is always an honor to talk about healing. Today, I'd like to use my personal experience to describe some universal characteristics of healing and to give you some practical ways to heal on all levels. So 12 years ago, healing for me meant curing the body. I was focused on my practice of physical therapy, and I never really considered the connection between my mind and my body. And I rarely thought about spirituality. I suspected we were simply our biology playing out the patterns in our DNA. Well, that was going to change. Because for me, the catalyst for change was debilitating pelvic pain. When I was 45, my pelvic floor muscles suddenly went into a spasm, my bladder started to hurt, and my nervous system ramped up like it was in overdrive. It was scary, and I got anxious. Eventually, I was diagnosed with a condition called painful bladder syndrome, makes sense, or interstitial cystitis. And in a survey for Prevention Magazine, physicians were asked to rate the top 10 most painful conditions, and this one was third on the list. And I honestly didn't need to see the survey to know that. So the pain was so debilitating that I had to quit my job, and I focused on healing for years. I began, of course, by trying every single option that was, not every single option, but most of the options that were available in Western medicine at that time. And then when I was still in debilitating pain, I checked my skepticism as this physical therapist and gradually started trying complementary treatments that I used to consider were so out there and invalid. So I tried meditation and yoga and acupuncture and Reiki, which is a form of energy work, and two forms of holistic body work, cranial sacral therapy and myofascial release. I also worked with a psychologist and a life coach to help with the mental, emotional pieces of the pain. And so over the years, I had all these direct experiences of the connection between my mind and body and spirit. And slowly, slowly, gradually, I opened up and my perspective changed. It took 7 years, but eventually I was pain-free without medications. And I actually know that I would not have gotten better without this holistic approach. So over the years, I discovered that healing can be a way to feel better sometimes physically, but that healing was way more than just curing my body. I came upon a quote by the cardiologist Dr. Dean Ornish early in my healing that eventually would summarize my experience. Curing is when the physical disease gets measurably better. But healing is a process of becoming whole. Even the words heal, whole, and holy come from the same root. In the process of healing, you reach a place of wholeness and deep inner peace from which you can deal with illness with much greater, with much less fear and suffering, and much greater clarity and compassion. While curing is wonderful when it occurs, healing is often more meaningful because it takes you to a place of greater freedom from suffering. So, I'd like to talk a little bit about that suffering, because suffering is often considered to be synonymous with pain or illness or adversity. Sometimes we think they're the same thing. But I have observed and experienced that they're really different. So how many of you have met people who were in the middle of harrowing experiences, but they were not suffering? Anybody? My mom was a big example of this. She had Lou Gehrig's disease, or ALS, and she became progressively paralyzed for 7 years. And on one of our last visits, I'm moving my mother up in bed, and she's a lot lighter because she's just this bony frame right now. And I move her up in bed with more force than I needed, and her head bumped the top of the headboard. And I'm like, "Oh, Mom, I'm really sorry." I said, "How can you have patience with all of us idiots?" And she said, "Well, I learned so much from this, going through this illness, and I'm just hoping that I can help you learn too." And as my mom declined, she was more alive than most of us with fully functioning bodies. She was fully present. She listened intently. She savored her food, and she watched the birds with delight. So she lived not only with peace, but with great joy. And in the end, she seemed like she was illuminated from within. She literally radiated light and love. So how many of you have also seen people who their life seems to be going along perfectly fine on the outside, but they are really suffering? How many have experienced seen that? Well, that was me. Right? Because even though I looked basically healthy and my life was moving along well on the outside, I came to understand that I was in a state of low-level suffering throughout my life. And I only acknowledged it when it went into debilitating pelvic pain. That was when I acknowledged it. And that's when I started healing. So what I think is that when we suffer, we feel disconnected from our love, from our essence, our life force, our spirit, whatever you want to call it, and we are stuck in fear-based patterns. And so if this is what I think suffering is, I think healing is moving in the opposite direction. When we heal, we calm our body and mind. We release fear-based patterns, and we open up to perceive and experience more love. Just like suffering is on a continuum, you know, there's just this range of suffering. There's a range of healing, and healing can help us move out of despair, but healing can also help us open up to experience more and more love. So there's really no limit to how much we can heal. So I'd like to share my experiences of these three aspects of healing and give you just a few ideas on how you could move in this direction if you want. The first one was calming the body and mind. So early in healing, I realized that when I did activities to calm my body and mind, my pain levels would drop. My urologist told me to go to a yoga class, and I'm like, I don't really think so because it's pretty slow, and I'm so stiff and inflexible, it's embarrassing. But I decided to go in about 2 months into pain, and my pain was about an 8 out of 10 at that time. And I was shocked that during yoga, when I was calm and focused on my breath, my pain would drop to a level 2. And sometimes I'd be pain-free for the whole class. So I started adopting a lot of those complementary treatments that were very calming for the nervous system. And I also took time to rest in quiet and solitude. I walked in nature, talked with my friends, with my husband, practiced diaphragmatic breathing and progressive relaxation, which is what we did in our meditation for those of you who weren't here. And even though I learned that even though my condition was really extreme, having a ramped up nervous system is actually pretty common. Dr. Lissa Rankin is the author of the book Mind Over Medicine, and she reports that most people have about 50 stress responses a day where the sympathetic nervous system rises up. and becomes active. And some people have more than twice as many. I probably was stuck in that state for most of the day. And there's evidence that certain activities can turn on the calming side of the nervous system. So as I read them aloud, if you choose, raise your hand if you've tried it. Okay? So yoga, creativity, tai chi. I've never done this. I've heard it's awesome. Being with friends. Come on, the people who aren't raising their hands, I know you're with friends sometimes, but it's okay. It's okay. You don't have to raise your hand. Work you love. Laughing. Exercising. That one I'm bad at. And playing with animals. Okay. And when you're stressed, I've found it's really helpful to breathe with the diaphragm or feel your feet on the floor, like we did with the kids. Okay, the second part of healing is releasing fear-based patterns. So about 2 years into healing, I realized that the pain increased when I was carrying something emotionally or falling into a pattern of behavior or thought that was literally constricting. My body became like this obnoxious GPS that kept telling me, you're off course, and I just wanted to turn it off. But once I made this connection between what was happening in my body and what was happening in my mind, I could use it to heal. So whenever the pain would rear up, I would look around at my life and I would be like, huh, what's going on in my life? What's really bugging me? What's triggering me? And then when I figured out what was happening and I would change in a positive direction, my body would relax and the pain would drop. I worked with therapists and I journaled to help with this discovery. So, whenever you're stressed, instead of just calming the stress response, you could actually ask yourself, why am I stressed in the first place? And if you look out into your life, most likely what's going on in your life is always triggering our biggest issues. So it's a big clue of what you're carrying is what's happening in your life. But the key is, when you answer this question, instead of looking outside and blaming how you are feeling on another person or the situation, here's the key. You look within. I had never looked within. Everything was related to my mother or my job or, I don't know, not my husband. But when you uncover an underlying belief or thought pattern or old emotion, then you have an opportunity to replace it with a new message. And when our internal messages become more loving and supportive, we calm down. So there's always going to be challenge and drama in our lives. That doesn't change. But as we heal, our internal experience in the exact same situations can change. So it's awesome. So after I'd been working, now this is the intense part of it, so just take a breath and be with me. After I had been working on healing for 5 years, repressed memories surfaced. And I remembered being raped at age 4, 5, and 9 by the priest who was the hero of my childhood. It was really hard to believe because I had kept that secret buried for 50 years. But my siblings, my brother and sister, told me that they had picked up on a really weird vibe with him and they were sure it was true. And it matched all the memories I kept. It was like my whole life made sense now. And it also completely matched what was happening in my body. So this knowledge was really hard, but it led to another layer of healing. And I actually learned how to release the effects of this trauma mentally, emotionally, physically, and even energetically. So, your traumas, and I hope they are, much lighter than this. But for you, no matter what it is, whether it was being yelled at by the teacher when you were in second grade, being shamed by your mom when you wet your pants, I don't care what it is, they're still important. Because on a basic level, we all want to be safe and to survive. And our bodies and minds sometimes hold these experiences and they'll replay them just to make sure that we're safe and survive. So what we're holding can influence what we tune into in our lives and the meaning that we give situations. So healing is just, not just, it's not easy, but it's acknowledging these traumas and releasing what we're carrying. It's seeing where we are holding shame, blame, and fear and replacing it with self-acceptance and love. And when we feel safer with ourselves, we calm down. And then, this is the best part, you get to use your mind in way more creative and open ways because you're not focused on this survival. So in summary of this section, healing is releasing resistance so we can perceive and experience more love. The 13th century poet, Rumi, do you guys know Rumi? Love Rumi, love him. He said, "Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it." Okay, now the best part, opening up to receive love. 2 months into the condition, my pain was, like I told you, an 8 on a scale of 1 to 10. I couldn't eat. It was difficult to eat or sleep. I pictured myself alone and in pain for the rest of my life. And I thought that if I didn't have a husband and kids counting on me, I would check out. I was really suffering. So one night, I'm lying in bed, crying and in pain, and I look up and I see the book, The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, sitting on this shelf above my bed. How many of you guys have read that book? It's really great, right? And it had been collecting dust up there for about 2 years because I'm not a spiritual reader. Honestly, I have read about 5 spiritual books and all of them have been given to me at a key time. But I've experienced it. So I pick up this book and I start reading to distract myself from the pain. And in the first chapter, Eckhart encouraged the reader to tune in to their inner voice and to consider that there's another part of them that can listen to this inner voice. Well, I knew that inner voice because mine was really negative and incessant. So I tuned in and I went underneath that voice and all of a sudden I felt this electric thing go from my heart, out my arms, out my legs, out my fingers and out my toes. And I'm like, wow, that was really weird. So the next night I'm lying in bed crying and in pain and I thought about my parents who have both died. My dad died right when my pain began. Kind of makes sense. With both of my parents gone, I was starting to get ready to look and process and heal. So there, I thought about my dad, and this little tingling went through my body. And I thought about my mom, and wave after wave of this electric energy came from the top of my head, through my body, out my fingers, and out my toes. On the fifth time, I was laughing. And I said, okay, I get that I am loved. And so that night was a switch for me. Some people call it a spiritual awakening. I've heard other people describe it. It was a switch for me. In the past, I would have said, oh, this is a neural pathway in overactivity because of the pain. But it was different this time. And I just knew that even if my body were consumed in pain the rest of my life and I suffered huge depression the rest of my life, there was another part of me that wasn't going to die. And I knew that at that moment, when I felt I had nowhere else to turn, there was always more within. And that knowledge never has wavered. I do not think it's a coincidence that it happened when I called out for help. Because I've learned that when you decide to heal, there is a lot of support for healing. So over the healing years, information came in all these ways to help me down that healing road. There were body sensations and thoughts and images and dreams and coincidences. Sometimes I would be working through something and a friend would hand me a book, one of those five books, and say, "You need to read this." And I'm like, "Oh, this is exactly what I'm going through." Or I would be going to the grocery store and the clerk would tell me something out of the blue that was exactly what I was going through. So over time, I learned to pay attention to this information and to consider it meaningful. I wrote from the depths of despair to joy, and eventually this became the three books of the healing series. And some of the practical things that I'm telling you today are from the second book called Healing with Awareness, which is the title of our service. Now, I currently reread the first book, which was written over 12 years ago, and it was shocking to me that every spiritual insight that I wrote down still is my truth today. My body and my mind have changed so much, but those truths have never wavered. You know those truths. We all know those truths. And when we settle down and we open up, we become more aware of this love and wisdom that's within all of us. And we start appreciating that at the core, we are this love and we are this wisdom. So I'd like to close with a poem from that second book that I used to summarize the healing process. So I welcome you to close your eyes. And I want you to imagine this with me. It begins with a rumbling of the soul. Sometimes it is a gentle tremble that shakes the edges. And sometimes it is an earthquake that rocks the foundation. As the stiff and the stagnant crumbles, light peeks through the cracks and the rubble, and with this new light and space, we are given the chance to rebuild, this time with bricks of love. Thank you.